Since our Thanksgiving holiday, we have been focused on the colors of Christmas. In week one, we had a message entitled, A Green Christmas, and we focused on the evergreen tree, the symbol of life in the midst of the darkest parts of winter. And we learned that a green Christmas is all about the life and the growth that God wants us to experience through His Son, Jesus Christ. In week two, we talked about a blue Christmas, in the reality that, as Steve talked about in the communion meditation today, Christmas is not always joyous for everyone. Sometimes there is some kind of a tragedy or hardship that comes at the holiday season that brings people to a dark or blue place. And so we talked about our responsibility as believers is gathering around to love others who are having a blue Christmas. In week three, we talked about a white Christmas, and although it's very nostalgic to think about snow, that wasn't going to happen yesterday when it hit almost 70 degrees, right? But we learned about a white Christmas, biblically speaking, is not about snow, but it's all about the light that Christ brought to the world. John 1 tells us He brought life and light to everyone. He was a light shining in a dark place. Last week, we focused on the color gold in a message called A Gold Christmas, and we focused on the gifts that the wise men brought to the newborn King of Kings, and we talked about, in A Gold Christmas, it's all about worshiping the King and bringing our best to Him. But today, after Christmas, our focus is going to be on a red Christmas. Now, many of us are wearing red today, and red is a very festive color. But this message today might not be as cheerful as the color suggests. Let me remind you about something that happened not long ago. Two weeks before Christmas, a gunman entered Sandy Hook Elementary School and took the lives of 20 children ages 6 to 7 and 6 members of the staff. It was devastating for those families who definitely had a blue Christmas. It was shocking to the nation, and many of us remember the horror of that time. There was a woman named Cameo Smith that wrote a tribute to the children and the staff that were lost that day. I don't know if you heard it, but I'd like to share it with you now. It went like this. 'Twas 11 days before Christmas, around 9:38, when 20 beautiful children stormed through heaven's gate. Their smiles were contagious, their laughter filled the air. They could hardly believe all the beauty they saw there. They were filled with such joy they didn't know what to say. They remembered nothing of what had happened earlier that day. "Where are we?" asked a little girl, as quiet as a mouse. "This is heaven," declared a small boy. "We're spending Christmas at God's house." When what to their wondering eyes did appear but Jesus their Savior, the children gathered near. He looked at them and smiled, and they smiled just the same. Then He opened His arms and called them by name. And in that moment was joy that only heaven can bring. Those children all flew into the arms of their King. And as they lingered in the warmth of His embrace, one small girl turned and looked at Jesus' face. And as if He could read all the questions she had, He gently whispered to her, "I'll take care of Mom and Dad." Then He looked down on earth at the world far below. He saw all of the hurt, the sorrow and woe. Then he closed his eyes and outstretched his hand. Let my power and presence re-enter this land. May this country be delivered from the hands of fools. I'm taking back my nation. I'm taking back my schools. Then he and the children stood up without a sound. Come now, my children, let me show you around. Excitement filled the space. Some skipped and some ran, all displaying enthusiasm that only a small child can. And I heard him proclaim as he walked out of sight, in the midst of this darkness, I am still the light. It was a blue Christmas for those families, but it also reminds us of the red Christmas, that first coming of Jesus. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 772. But we are going to learn here that the Sandy Hook tragedy was not the first time tragedy struck at Christmas time. Matthew chapter 2, we read that the wise men came seeking the newborn king of the Jews. They met with Herod, as we talked about last week, and he instructed them to go find the child and come back and let him know where the child is so he could come and worship. Verse 9 picks up, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, I called my son out of Egypt. Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. Amid all the joy of Christmas, the after story was very sad for those families in and around Bethlehem. Herod was a brutal madman. Herod was not a full-blooded Jew. He was actually a Hasmonean. But he had ingratiated himself to the Roman authorities. In fact, historians tell us he made 2 trips to Rome. And he was appointed as the puppet king in Judea as long as he did the bidding of Caesar. But Herod was a wicked man, and he was paranoid. In fact, he killed his own wife, and he killed 2 of his sons. The joke in his court was, it was safer to be a pig in Jerusalem than to be one of Herod's sons. Herod couldn't stand the thought of someone taking his throne. He tried to use the wise men to find the baby, acting like he wanted to come and worship too. But he used it as a plot to gain access to the child so he could kill him. But God protected Jesus. But in the midst of it, Herod slaughtered the innocents. We can't imagine the pain of those families, for this was not just a madman with a gun. This was the lawful king of the territory who used his power to murder innocent children, and there was nothing they could do about it. That's why I call this a red Christmas. And while it's difficult for us to understand how God could have allowed that to happen, ultimately Jesus came also to give his life as a sacrifice for our sin. So as we think about the color red today, I want you to remember it's all about sacrifice. We talked last week about the gifts of the wise men, the gifts they brought to Jesus, gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold was brought because he was born to be the king of his people. Frankincense because he was born to be the high priest for his people. But the myrrh was given because he was born to die for his people. We're told in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 33, about the angel Gabriel coming to visit that young woman named Mary. Luke records this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever and ever. His kingdom will never end." Mary knew the prophecies. She, like the rest of the Jewish nation, were waiting for God's promised Messiah. The news of this gave great joy, but some have wondered over the years if Mary really understood all that Christ came to do.
"Mary, my betrothed, you have the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen, and the sweetest smile."
"Don't be afraid."
"I'm the Lord's servant."
"Help us! Please!"
"Lady, I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?"
"His name is Jesus."
"Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?"
"Mary,
and
he's
this
here.
Child that your baby boy would one day
In the joy of the birth, did Mary understand all that would happen? Probably not. But as we think about the Red Christmas, I want you to remember it's all about sacrifice. Why, we ask? Well, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 14 to 17, Scripture says this: because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of people. And for all the parents at Sandy Hook, and really anyone who has lost a child, God wants you to know you're not alone, that he lost his son too. And he did it willingly and knowingly and intentionally to purchase our salvation, to free us from that power of sin and the curse of death. And so what should our response be? Paul wrote in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you, lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with one another, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all." So as we think about the color red today, remember it's all about sacrifice. The sacrifice that God made of his Son, who gave up his throne in heaven to be born in a stable and to live in a place where he was rejected and ultimately put to death. Christmas is about his first coming, but it's also about his sacrifice. My challenge for you today is this. I want to challenge you as we think about the new year coming this weekend to make a new year's resolution that you will live a life worthy of your calling. Perhaps that might be by choosing a relationship in your life in which you need to be humble and gentle and patient. Somebody God's put in your life, a family member, a friend, someone here in the church family, that you need to demonstrate these character qualities with. It's a part of your living this life that's worthy, and I want to challenge you to do this to honor the sacrifice of the Lord so that we can keep ourselves united in His Spirit. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, what a difficult part of the Christmas story. What a tragedy for those families who just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time at the hands of a ruthless dictator. And it was still some of those same powers of darkness that even put your son to death. Father, we thank you that Jesus came into this dark world and he brought us life and light. And as we wait for his second coming, at which time he will set all things right, give us strength and give us hope. Help us to honor his sacrifice by leading lives that are worthy of the calling to which you have called us. May this be our Christmas offering, to live lives that honor Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.